Hello.
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 Hello, low, low.
Hello.
Hi.
And in the week that Nicolas Cage is returning a dinosaur skull, which he bought from a gallery in Beverly Hills for $276,000, to Mongolia, because it turns out both him and the gallery were caught in an illegal smuggling ring.
In the week that Amazon and Overstock removed most of those two-wheel self-balancing hoverboard thingies from sale because they just keep catching fire.
And in the week that a Pembrokeshire village endured its 81st consecutive day of rain, making it one of the longest stretches of wet weather in British history for 92 years.
Ooh, and in the week that Kez joins us live from the USA, home to such alien life forms as Donald Trump's hair, it's the Geekly Chronicles.
Indeed, hello.
Indeed it is. Episode 7. Can you believe it?
Wowza.
Crazy.
Yeah, here I am, coming to you remotely for the first ever time.
Yes.
So you're too far away to make me tea during the songs then?
I'm 6.5 whole thousand miles away from you right now.
Whoa.
I really hope it all works.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I didn't realise that you have so many buttons on this side of the desk.
I know.
Because, of course, I'm producing because you're in, you know, Trump land. So, like, I really hope I don't press the wrong one.
Well, there are a lot of buttons, but...
There are loads of buttons.
You get used to
it. It's kind of scary.
Don't press the big red one and then you're fine.
I thought you just, like, sat and talked about sandwiches. I didn't realise there was all of this to, like...
Well,
that is the most important thing that I do. I do sit and talk about sandwiches a lot. But no, you know, there are buttons. Unfortunately, there is not yet a sandwich button.
True. We should build a sandwich button.
Oh, I'm up for that.
I'm absolutely up for that.
Yeah.
We can
something
make that
for Series
happen.
4.
Absolutely. Mm. Of course, this was also the week that, tragically, the music legend David Bowie died at the age of 69. So, in tribute to him, here is Heroes.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
So, Catherine, while you said that because I'm so far away this week, not quite around the other side of the world, but definitely the other side of a big wet thing, that I wouldn't be able to make you tea this week. But I have to correct you, because aren't you off tea at the moment anyway?
How has this happened?
Oh,
you
yes.
are the biggest consumer of tea in Western Europe. What is going on?
So I've decided to take on WaterAid, the charity. They're running a challenge, the Just Water Challenge. I'm drinking, just water for 4 weeks in January.
Does what it says on the tin, really, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So totally missing the tea in a big way, to the point where I still talk about making cups of tea. Then I get to the kettle and go, oh, no tea for me.
Although, before the show, you did make yourself a cup of hot water, so.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have something warm to hold, sort of comforting. Mm. So, yeah, it's an important campaign, I think. Everything WaterAid raise between now and the 10th of February for their Deliver Life campaign, the government is doubling.
Ooh.
So if anyone donates, I've tweeted a link out to my Just Giving page. You can also donate by text message. So you can send your message to 70070. And the thing that you need to type in your message is EMVY65, then a space, a pound sign, and the amount that you want to donate. So, for example, you might type EMVY65 space pound sign 2 to donate £2. And send that to 70070, or just follow the link on our Twitter account and in the show notes, and you can just donate on the web on Just Giving with your credit card or whatever. So really important stuff. The Deliver Life campaign is hoping to reach 130,000 mums, which wouldn't otherwise have access to clean water. So these are mums that are about to give birth to brand new babies, and they wouldn't otherwise have access to clean water. So WaterAid are aiming to give them that access for at least a year. So, yeah, really important stuff. Mm. So my small sacrifice of
no tea
or other interesting beverages for the month of January. And if you'd like to have a go as well, if other people would like to have a go at giving up other beverages, then you can do the challenge for 2 weeks as well. So you've got until Monday to sign up for that, and you can still fit your 2 weeks into January, or you can just sign up at any point and have a go.
Mm. But other than the excitement of Catherine's water challenge, thrilling though it may be.
Yeah, the
No, it's brilliant.
The overwhelming excitement of a cup of hot water.
my hat is off to you because I couldn't do it. Maybe I could, but it is a very, very tough thing, and certainly to you and to Caitlin, to anyone that's kind of giving up caffeine and the usual vices and going for just water for a month, that's tough. So you know, well done on that. There's also been a lot of other exciting stuff happening in the past couple of weeks.
There is. That is very true. Now, I think probably the most exciting thing that is happening or has been announced in the past couple of weeks is the news that Robot Wars is apparently coming back.
No, I was going to go with Tim Peake being on a spacewalk, but okay, we'll go with Robot Wars.
Well...
I think, you know, exciting in different ways.
Exciting thing. Like, Tim Peake walking in space is pretty cool.
People walk in space all the time. Robot Wars has been off our screens for ages.
I mean, for the people that aren't from the UK, I don't know if Robot Wars ever made it internationally.
I hope it did.
But what is it?
Well,
it pretty
much does what it says on the tin.
Build robots, and then they fight them against each other.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, really.
That's basically all that happens.
They get them in a big arena.
Yeah.
And they have some kind of official house robots that sort of police the fight and sometimes join in with the fight.
Yeah. If they feel it's not exciting enough, they'll just start slamming people. But yeah, it was a big thing. It was a BBC TV series, and there was each series was a knockout competition. It was presented by Craig Charles of Red Dwarf fame and various other things, and commentated like a real sport. And
well, it was a real sport.
It feels like it was probably really good in the 90s.
It's been off the air for 12 years.
Why is it coming back now when robots aren't as cool anymore?
Well, I suppose there's been quite a lot of technological advances, at least I imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe...
I don't know if there's many advances in...
fighting robots.
Axe
technology.
Technology, but
maybe the reason that robots aren't quite as cool anymore is because we don't have robot wars as a motivator for the design of new leaps and bounds in axe technology.
Yeah, I mean, I want a pneumatic flipper.
Who wouldn't?
For my car. So, you know, maybe if Robot Wars comes back, I will get one.
I mean, to be fair, I think we've got very different priorities in life.
Although, to be fair, like, when you're stuck in traffic behind someone who clearly doesn't know what they're doing, the ability to just drive up behind them and pneumatically flip them off the road would be really, really bad, like, as a thing, but also...
where you're failing your driving test.
Also very entertaining for that moment before...
oh, dear.
Well, before you got arrested. KF says, in fact, in the original Robot Wars, the robots were so dangerous that they had to make the arena bulletproof. Because of the amount of robot stuff that was flying at the audience. In fact, many, many years ago, I went to see Robot Wars being filmed, and it is kind of scary when this not insignificant thing gets launched directly at the audience, more or less. KF says, no, for the new series, they made the thing bulletproof, my mistake. But it is kind of scary when this massive robot gets launched at you and crashes against the side. Like, oh, wow, that was quite a powerful machine that's just... chucked that at a bunch of people.
Yeah, here on this Radio Times article I've got, it says they've they've got a new purpose-built fighting arena in Glasgow, the home of fighting arenas.
Apparently.
I don't know. The show will have state-of-the-art cameras capable of capturing every crushing, sawing, and scorching moment in incredible detail.
Blimey.
I'm guessing that's HD then.
I would imagine so.
So, yeah, I'm quite excited.
It was a big thing when I was younger watching Robot Wars. All the robots, like, because you'd obviously get favorite robots because they all had interesting names and like teams behind them with who'd tell you like how they built the robot and stuff.
Yeah, and you can all sort of fantasize that one day you might be able to build a robot.
Yeah,
somebody might actually build Robo Nails.
I can imagine.
I think that shows with robots are a really cool idea, but why can't we have like Robot Wars, but you have to build robots that can give the best hugs.
Robo hug off.
Yeah, that's why not a bad idea. Why is it got to be so violent?
That's not a bad idea. I might write that down, actually. Robo hugs.
Yeah, or just robots that say funny things.
So, if you, listener, would be the kind of person that would enter Robot Wars because you like building robots but don't like the idea of war or violence and quite like hugs, let's do this. Let's build a purpose-built hugging arena in Swansea.
And, Swansea, the home of hugging.
Yeah. and we'll have a robo hug-off.
That sounds like a great plan, I'm going to be honest.
Fantastic. Right, okay.
Okay, now to your thing that you thought was more interesting than Robot Wars.
No, not more interesting than robot hugs, though.
Okay.
I mean, like you say, people walk in space all the time.
But robots hug each other almost never.
That's true.
So,
Tim Peake, who we've talked about on the show previously, has done a spacewalk this week.
That is very true. In fact,
today.
Has just finished it when we went on air, I think.
So presumably, he's now back in the capsule with a cup of tea listening to the show.
I imagine so. Drinking the tea that Catherine otherwise would be.
They've got tea on the ISS,
but not in the Geekly studio. Yeah. The Geekly backup studio. So we were watching the spacewalk on TV before the show, and they had various people, one of whom was Monica Grady, who is Professor of Planetary and Space Sciences at the Open University. He says, guessing wildly. Something like that. They were talking about how... because the spacewalk is basically just, you know, changing a space light bulb, more or less. That's what they were actually doing. But the amount of engineering that has to go into the whole process of...
And how much they monitor every single tiny facet of what they're doing
is
incredible.
Yeah, so they had... It was... I can't remember exactly what the thing was, but it was something to do with the power system of the ISS. One of the things that gets power from the solar panels into the space station had broken, basically. They had to replace it. And they were detaching this broken part from the outside of the ISS. And from mission control, they were literally saying, okay, four turns on the wrench or screwdriver or whatever it was they were using. I mean, I imagine it's more complicated than just a Phillips head screwdriver, but
it's a sonic screwdriver.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're in space, you may as well. The amount of monitoring of all of this kind of thing, because of how precise all of the equipment needs to be and all of the stuff that they do needs to be to make all of the equipment work, is incredible. And also the fact that, like, they were saying on the BBC, which is where we were watching it, that there were millions of people watching, because all sorts of people, obviously, from the UK who are interested in space are watching to support our guy up there on the ISS, and loads of other people watching because they like spacewalks. There are millions of people watching someone change a space light bulb, but because of how incredible it is, and they were the pressure that they might feel because all of these people are watching them.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you were at home doing some DIY.
And there were a million people over your
just
shoulder
watching you.
And a million people over your shoulder, and like 20 of them saying, all right, screw it in that way. No, no, do it this way. No, do it that way, or something like that. It must be an incredibly stressful environment.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of the psychological training's for, really. It's not to deal with space, it's to deal with the other humans.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But it is kind of funny, isn't it? Because it's a relatively simple part. It's a relatively simple procedure, but because it's
in space.
In space, it becomes a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
You drop a screwdriver in space.
It's basically gone.
Kind of lost it.
Yeah. In fact, they were saying when they'd taken the old part off and put the new one on, whoever they had on, it may still have been Monica Grady, said they can't just leave that lying around. They've got to take it back in because otherwise it'll just disappear. Into space, like
yeah,
they've got to be incredibly
careful.
We
got to see sort of the inside of the bag that they had the part in and everything, and it was just sort of
this
like
this whole process.
It's strangely exotic and mundane at the same time.
Yeah, to see them taking a thing out of a bag in space.
It's like a space bag.
They took a space thing out of a space bag in space. That's the difference.
That's very true. That is that is what they did. But yeah, and someone else said that, like, to be able to hold on to something because of the forces involved being in zero gravity and everything and the thickness of the suit, it's like, you know, those stress balls you can get squeezing down on one of those anytime you want to hold on to anything. So the physical forces are incredible. Someone tweeted in to say, you know, would your feet ache after a spacewalk? And they said, well, obviously not your feet because you're not walking on anything, but like everything else would, because of the incredible strength you need to be able to do these kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you don't really think, do you? But it's quite incredible. Mm.
So those were interesting stories.
Especially doing a spacewalk for the first time.
Yeah.
Just like, ah!
That is his first... I think they said on the news, the first official British astronaut to do a spacewalk, which we found very funny, because then it spawned the idea of all of these unofficial British astronauts
doing unofficial spacewalks.
Unofficial spacewalks. People that are just popped up to space for a biscuit and a cup of tea or something.
Well, like Rose Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty
That's
much.
They're not discounting that. Yeah.
Yeah. All those British people that have ended up in the TARDIS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Oh, so I'm looking for tweets about Tim Peake to share, and I come across one lady tweeting, to commemorate Astro Tim Peake's historic spacewalk, I'm changing my vacuum cleaner bag in slow motion, wearing a padded white anorak.
Brilliant.
Oh, I now want to do that, except my vacuum cleaner doesn't have a bag.
That's fantastic.
It's a space vacuum cleaner.
But speaking of space vacuum cleaners and robot vacuum cleaners, which you were earlier, Kez, something I noticed in the last couple of weeks was that people who own a certain kind of LG smart TV got a little message popped up on their screens that said LG TV app service is going to be discontinued shortly. And I can't remember when it's happening, but it is happening in the near future. So the whole apps thing on the smart TV, the thing that makes it smart, is just being switched off by LG.
Oh dear.
At some point.
Yeah, this is quite worrying. I mean, I have an LG TV just over there.
Yeah, and it's one of those smart ones, so it has all kinds of apps. So it's kind of worrying that, you know, presumably you bought it for the smart features as well as the whole TV situation. Why is that not going to work anymore?
Well, it's really interesting. It kind of reminds me of the early days of mobile phones and smartphones, because, you know, now we've got a few big players that have big app stores, and, you know, I don't feel like the Apple App Store or Google Play is in any danger of switching off its app stores anytime soon. Mm. But, you know, back in the earlier days when it was kind of every platform for itself, then, you know, there were days where platforms would kind of come and go and apps that had been written on them would just no longer work.
Yeah. And
I guess we're in the really early stages of smart TVs. And so I have Apple TVs and a couple of Chromecasts and things at home, just because, you know, I really like the fact that it doesn't rely on the TV itself to do that. But then a lot of people have invested in these smart TVs because they don't want to have to buy separate hardware or set-top boxes. And yet here we are then with those companies who are now just unable to support an app ecosystem and shutting it off.
So I kind of, as part of exploring the reasons that this had happened, I came across a Twitter account whose name I can't really say on air. It's Internet of and what that account tweets is stuff like this, basically, where the Internet of Things, as is the buzzword for all of these kind of connected devices, has gone wrong. Because
I saw something else in the news about that this week. Wasn't there an issue with some Nest thermostats?
There was an update issue that left people cold. Yes. So Nest obviously make a smart thermostat, and lots of people have installed those in their house. And then they released this software update. It went wrong on a lot of Nest devices, and they just didn't function at all. And if this thing is your thermostat, obviously that's going to control your heating. So lots of people's heating just wouldn't turn on because their thermostat had received a software update that didn't work. And there was no... So it turned out that they could, you know, rescue their heating. But there was a 9-step reset procedure that involves taking the thermostat off the wall, like taking out all of the wiring, wiring it all back up again, putting it back on the wall, and restarting all of the software, like charging it on a USB cable, all sorts of things.
I think I'd find that quite stressful.
Yeah, no one has ever had to do that with a thermostat before the Internet of Things came along.
And I know, I suppose it's early days for this stuff, but I mean, I've heard of a friend who's got one saying things like, oh, I'm working from home today, but I'm not putting my heating on because it would teach the Nest, like, wrong behavior. Jeez. really? There's not just like an override button on it? You can't tell it that, you know, today is abnormal or something? You have to be cold?
I can't remember.
I was incredulous.
I can't remember what it was, but I think earlier today I was trying to do something on the computer and it was flashing up with some sort of message. And I said, for once, could you not try and be smarter than me? Because, like, computers, I am willing to admit computers are a lot smarter than me, and in some cases are a lot smarter than humans. But when you're trying to do a specific thing and it's deciding to do something else, it's kind of annoying because, you know, it doesn't understand what you're attempting to do. So having these smart devices that are essentially thinking for you is in some ways quite worrying.
But in some ways, it's kind of what we all want, isn't it? I mean, I really like the fact that there are these smart devices now. I always dreamed of a home that was controlled and learned and was part of a system. I mean, I've always wanted to have home automation stuff in place. And, you know, I've got lights that I can turn on with my phone, but I'd love it if there were sensors that meant they'd turn on when I walked into different rooms or that learned what time of the day I wake up and so could turn the light on at the right sort of time.
So, I mean, it's kind of finding the balance is the real issue here, because, like you said, you've got lights that you can control from your phone and stuff, but also you can control your lights by just walking up to the switch and pressing the on button. If we move to a world where the whole system is enclosed and, like, there's no manual override like that, I think we're going to have a lot more of these problems, because the alternative, your system is like you replace the light switch with a smart one, isn't it? But
that's right, yeah.
There are a lot of solutions where you replace the bulbs. So the Philips Hue, for example, is one such thing where you replace
I wouldn't do that though, because then, you know, what happens? Like, one, it's really expensive to replace.
Yeah, it's like $100 per bulb.
You can't put it in a custom light fitting and things like that. But also, it's, you know, there's then no manual override.
Absolutely. So
yeah, I mean, I love the thought of, you know, you're on the bus on the way home and you can switch the kettle on with your phone.
Yeah.
how cool is that? But, yeah, and yeah, so I like the idea of being able to remotely control things and, yeah, not necessarily have to get out of bed in the morning to switch the hot water heater on and things. But yeah, I think it's that attempt to be smarter when we're not quite ready yet.
Yes, because, of course, the other thing that the internet of Twitter account tweets about is occasions where there's a smart device that, shall we say, doesn't really need to be smart because there's no good reason to make a device smart. So recently, I suppose
like smart for smartness's sake is probably a bad thing.
So recently a product was released that was a smart thermometer. Now I won't say on air for fear of losing our clean tag where that thermometer goes, but it's not in your mouth. And that is internet connected for some reason, and you are inserting it into your body for some reason. I feel like there is something wrong with that situation. Like, I don't know how, because it is a thermometer. It's not going to cause you any damage unless you insert it wrong. But the idea of having those kinds of devices connected to the internet slightly worries me.
I mean, I suppose there's always a personal data and privacy issue, right?
Well, that too.
Or concern, at least. But I mean,
I'm not sure what hackers
are
going to do with my
temperature. You know, if you're tracking your health and all of your health care through an app or through an electronic system, then you can just have it all sync automatically, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is, let's not be too unfair. This is helpful if you have all of your data in one place. There are lots of services where you can link up all of your smart devices, like a lot of those fitness tracker things like the Fitbit or the I'm suddenly drawing a blank because all of the other ones that existed are now no longer being sold. But
there are great bits of software and services as well. I mean, Apple have their health.
Yeah, they have their health app. There's Google Fit. There's
Microsoft that do that one. A really good job of things.
There's also like My Fitness Tracker, etc., etc. There are loads of these fitness and health tracking things, and you can pair a smart bathroom scale with these things to track your weight.
On the Twitter account.
Have you found the Twitter account that I was talking about?
Yeah.
Excellent. You can have like a smart bathroom scale that can track your weight, and then it can give you, you know, better fitness recommendations because it knows things like your BMI and like how much fat is in your body, for example, what kind of workouts you need to do, and so on. So there are loads of benefits on the, you know, data mining of your own health in that case. But also there's the like you were saying, the whole privacy implications.
And also that this person who's tweeted or it was a post on Reddit, I think, somebody said, just the quote is, "My cat keeps weighing itself on my internet scales." a whole list of extra weights.
They have all of their normal weights. I've seen the picture. They have all of their weights listed and then loads of weights of about like 10 pounds, which is about what a cat weighs. And the system is like, "Oh wow, you've lost weight, like loads of weight." So, because it's not smart enough to tell that it is a cat. I mean, that kind of is and isn't a problem. It is a problem on that particular system. I have seen one internet connected scale / fitness app solution, which is a mouthful, where it can kind of guess based on your weight. Like you buy the scale and then a family can use it and it will say if one person steps on it and it's tracked a kind of similar-ish weight for them in the past, it will say, "Oh, you must be so-and-so. I'm going to log your weight under that profile and you can go in and change it." So if your cat steps on it, presumably it'll just get like a fitness tracking profile and say, "Well, Tiddles is slightly overweight this week."
The Internet of Things for cats.
Yes, that
surely
needs to happen.
Ultimate,
I mean,
yeah.
To an extent, that is already a thing because there are
internet
connected cat feeders.
Cats.
I mean, Is there any better reason to still have the internet? Is there any better purpose?
I remember when I first joined Twitter, somebody had connected their cat flap and their cat's collars, or their microchipped cats, up to a Twitter account. So every time the cats went in and out, it tweeted. So that obviously they could keep an eye on them when they were at work, see who was in, who was out, things like that. And that was years ago now. That must be 2008 or something. Mm. Somebody was doing that. So, yeah, cats and the Internet of Things.
Yes, the ultimate goal is cats. and speaking of the ultimate goal, speaking of words, something we forgot to do at the start of the show, of course, is introduce this week's Would You Rather.
We did forget.
And it is, since Catherine has been putting up with the pain of drinking only water so far this month, it's a kind of nice
That's
slurp there for
water.
Us. It's a water-themed Would You Rather. So would you like to introduce this week's question?
Yeah, so the question is, would you rather drink only water for a week? Or would you rather drink so much coffee that you couldn't sleep for a week?
I mean, I know which one I'd pick, but...
that's a lot of coffee.
That is a lot of coffee.
And I'm not a big fan of coffee.
So much coffee that I don't sleep for a week.
Yes, or only water for a week.
So basically it's, do you want to drink only water for a week, or do you want to not sleep for a week?
Yeah, I mean, one of them has significant health benefits over the other.
Oh, yeah, think of the extra time you have if you drank all that coffee.
Yeah. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
And I suppose if you really loved coffee...
Yeah, it would be like heaven for you to drink so much coffee over the course of a week that, like, you would have so much more time in the day to just drink coffee. You'd probably be awake for several weeks afterwards because of the amount of coffee you could
You'd
drink.
You'd probably actually be stuck to the ceiling.
Yeah. So that's what we want to know. Yeah. Do let us know. gkly.co/WYR. And let us know which you would prefer to drink only water for a week, or drink so much coffee you didn't sleep for a week.
It's like the Go Compare guy, only less annoying and more tuneful. It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble.
That was a lot of jingles. So, Catherine, have you got for us?
Well, if you remember last time, we talked about Richard Osman doing the World Cup of Chocolate.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, so we said to you that whatever chocolate bar won, we would put some in the prize draw. So we've got a giant bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk to go in the
Ooh,
prize draw, which we will tell you more
exciting.
About later in the
later
show.
On. Yes.
But yeah, so that was hanging over from last week's Tumble Fumble. This time we have some more Star Wars for you, but I'm not actually going to read anything out because obviously spoilers. Some people might not have seen it yet. You might want to check out twitter.com/orcsstormtrooper, which is an awkward stormtrooper.
Am I right in thinking there's no E in stormtrooper?
You are right in thinking that, yeah. So it's twitter.com/AWKS, then stormtrooper, but it ends with PR instead of R. So yeah, I'll tweet all these as well. And then you might also want to check out twitter.com/VeryLonelyLuke. As well.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that one's quite special. Actually, they're both fantastic. So yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan and you've seen the Force Awakens, then you might want to check those out. Otherwise, you know, you might see spoilers if you've not seen it yet.
No spoilers.
Excellent. And then in non-spoiler news,
In stuff you can actually look at
if you've not seen The Force Awakens,
I discovered this this artist who takes paintings that they found in sort of charity shops and thrift stores and stuff and adds to them. This guy Dave Pollitt, so he's got a website and Etsy shop, and he's also on Instagram. I think the Instagram account is the one where I first found him, and it's just great. So if you go to instagram.com/DavePollittArt, so that's DavePollittArt. So it's like Dave Pollitt art.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get me.
Or Dave Polo Tart.
Yeah, Dave Polo Tart. Yeah, I think.
Or Dave Pol O-Tart.
I think
I'm going to stop.
Yeah, okay. So you know, things like putting the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in a sort of a wintry townscape.
That's glorious.
I think my absolute favourite has to be a painting of a rather beautiful garden. you know, it's got kind of trees with all blossom on them and lupins in the garden and everything. But the little garden path, he has put on all the little Mario Kart characters. So they're all racing around this very sort of sedate country garden. That's definitely one of my favourites.
Excellent.
And then you've got things like the TARDIS outside a barn.
Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah, it's just joyous, I think.
That sounds fantastic.
So... I'll tweet links to all those. And then I'm also going to pass over to Kez, who wants to talk to a subject that I'm really quite fascinated by.
You've
as well.
Got a thing.
Things I really like, fascinating cover versions of songs that we all know really well. So I sort of collect those. So Kez has got something like that to tell us about. So what have you found?
Yeah, I was whilst kind of getting over jet lag, I was searching through YouTube for various things to kind of watch and listen to. And I came across a YouTube channel called Postmodern Jukebox. And what I loved about this was that a bunch of really talented musicians take more modern songs and put them into different contexts. So, you know, they'll do blues and jazz versions of songs that weren't typically blues or jazz, or they'll do things in the style of a particular decade, or they'll do a version of a thing for like piano and tap dance rather than traditional instruments. You've not lived until you've heard the Super Mario theme played on piano and tap dance, which is something that they've done.
Fantastic.
And so I just found myself looking through all of these, and I've picked a favorite one to share with you all, but they're well worth checking out. It's Postmodern Jukebox on YouTube and Twitter. They're touring, which is awesome.
Excellent.
But you know, now just kind of to share on the Geekly Chronicles, it's a favorite Radiohead song of mine that has been de-explicitified, which is
excellent.
Great.
We can play it on the show.
And so it's a late 90s kind of rock grunge Radiohead song that is now done in the style of kind of a 1940s singer, and I think it's amazing. So this is Postmodern Jukebox and Creep.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's a bit like 15 to 1 if William G. Stewart had been drunk and only wearing his dressing gown.
You see, that was a great song. I thought that you know, the original was good anyway, but this was just even better.
Yeah, I do like Postmodern Jukebox. I am a big fan of songs done in interesting styles.
I love the way that a good cover can really mess with your mind.
Mm. Well, yeah, and you know, it was so different from the original. There's no way that you would have thought that that was a Radiohead song if you didn't know the original. So, just so great to hear that. It was lovely. I do go to the Postmodern Jukebox YouTube channel if you want to check out other things, including the Pokemon theme done in a jazz style with a tap dancer.
Fantastic. And we will pop the link to that in the show notes after the show. So, joining us now in a move we really hope is going to work, we have Caitlin Fenton talking to us about this new petition that is going around on Twitter asking the government to make more kind of, I've completely forgotten the word, but to acknowledge and recognize non-binary gender as a thing. And also this inquiry that has just finished, the report has just been published on what the government is doing about trans people and what they should be doing about including them. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, well, for being 6,500 miles away, I'm okay. It's now midday. There's a little bit of blue amongst the clouds.
Oh, that's
good. I'm starting to think about what to have for lunch. There is actually a place that does sandwiches not too far from here, so I'll largely be going and getting a nice big sandwich that I'll probably tweet about after this.
Good.
But I've got much more of the day ahead of me. How is it?
Sounds brilliant.
In the UK, it's dark. Is it dark where you are, Caitlin?
And in Manchester particularly, it's raining, as always.
Fortunately here, it isn't. But I say fortunately, we're indoors. It doesn't matter. But It's not raining here, but it is still very dark. But I am very happy because this whole interview thing with two people remote has worked, and we are doing it, and it's all fine. So this Caitlin. Inquiry then. The report that the Women Inequalities Committee's inquiry group have published has made a lot of recommendations for the government about many things in the sphere of transgender issues. One of them was non-binary the representation and inclusion, which was the subject of that petition that was going around. But the first thing I kind of wanted to ask is, do you think that inquiry has gone far enough?
Well, personally, reading it over the past 3 days, I think it's done more than enough justice to bring to light the issues that trans people face in the wider community of the UK. The only two things which have done anywhere remotely near as much is the Gender Act of 2005 and the Equality Act of 2010, both of which were adequate at the time, and as we have quickly outgrown them, have become less and less useful to the wider community, and especially to those young trans people who are currently trying to transition.
So the acts that were previously kind of we saw as okay, you say we've grown out of them. Are they unfair, kind of, given how we understand it now?
Not unfair, just in terms of what they were there to do. They achieved their aims, and now they're outdated. They were made for a society that exists at that time, and that society has made so much progress. Mm. And just in terms of the terminology in there, some of it nowadays could be considered a slur, which many people don't identify with, and it drastically needs updating.
Yes, that is certainly an issue in a lot of kind of equality situations, but this one in particular, where a term in particular becomes acceptable to use in one period within society, but then it moves on, and then that term is no longer acceptable. It's seen as a slur. It seems offensive. So, do you think this new report is going to, well, this new report is going to undo the more damaging effects of that those old legislation had now?
Well, if we take it into context of what it is, it's the first report of this particularly committee, the Women's and Equalities Committee, and the depth that they've gone into it, I'm just looking at the sources that they've quoted from and everybody they've referenced. They have done a brilliant job from education, from social side, such as tackling everyday transphobia. And what they've set out as their guideline of what they think should be changed is exactly what many people have been campaigning for many years. And if this has government backing, it surely is a good sign that we're moving on to the correct path that we need to.
Absolutely. So one of the recommendations made in the report is that the government pay more attention to non-binary gender, and people who identify as non-binary need to kind of accommodate them. And especially given that there was a petition to get the government to recognise non-binary gender going around on Twitter, it very much seems to be coming at the right time. So do you have kind of any opinions on whether the inquiry's recommendations about non-binary gender are the right thing? I mean, obviously recognising people of non-binary gender is the right thing to do, but have they made the right recommendation?
Well, first of all, the petition's gone.
Oh. Okay. Caitlin, we seem to have lost you. Which may mean we've also lost Kez.
I'm here.
Okay, Kez is here, but Caitlin is not.
Oh dear.
I was very happy for a moment there while it was all working. But it is not.
It hasn't looked like Caitlin's gone from the what I can see on the screen, but that doesn't always mean anything?
I heard a slight robotization of the voice, but then it's
yes.
There are lots of different people's connections at play here, which is always
that's
difficult.
Very true.
It's always easier to dial people in over the phone. When you try and use the internet, there are so many different forces at play, and sometimes we are just at odds with them. But why don't we... So Caitlin had requested a song to go along with her interview.
Indeed.
Why don't we play that, see if we can get Caitlin back on the line.
Oh, there's geeks on the wavelength.
Indeed there are, and hopefully there's a Caitlin on the wavelength as well.
Hello, sorry about that.
No worries. It happens far more often than we'd like, but it does happen sometimes because technology
we've got you back now.
Is unpredictable. But we have you back now. So
where have we got to?
Before we lost you there for a moment, we had just asked if the report made by this trans inquiry had made the right recommendations about recognition of non-binary gender.
Well, the inquiry itself actually quotes the petition as one of its authors. And it goes a bit beyond that. It says partially that non-binary people should be recognised officially and their gender should be considered official. Yet it also goes further than that, saying that the gender should be itself abolished, that it's somewhat useless in today's society.
Yeah, I seem to remember that someone tweeted that the report said that we should use the X in the sex field on passports as a kind of representation of non-binary gender. Is it those kinds of things that... Do we need to do more or less of that sort of thing?
Well, for several years now, we've had the MX pronouns on stuff like passports and a driver's license as somewhat official non-binary pronouns, but there's been no official legislation of a non-binary gender. And just including that... it just validates so many people across the UK. And it puts us in leaps and bounds to actually get rid of the gender system, which it says in this field, just after the X on the passport, that should act as a stepping stone.
Yes. So I think, it definitely is important to make sure, you know, people are able to feel validated by...
That the option is
there. Yeah, the option is there.
How you want to describe yourself, then.
Yeah,
then you can.
Then you can, because that's... You are being thought of. So, yes, it sounds like that is a very positive move. Let's talk about The Danish Girl, which is a film that recently came out starring Eddie Redmayne as the lead character who is transgender. There has been a lot of mixed reaction to this film from the trans community. Do you have any comment on it?
Well, I think the film itself is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's putting trans representation in the main light of the media. It's a multi-million film which has been nominated for countless awards with the upcoming season. And yet, on the other side, it is a male playing a trans woman role, which isn't itself representative. It's somewhat perpetuating the idea that that is all what trans women are, men in dresses. And with the award going to the male actor, again, it puts us as a commodity rather than actual people.
Yes, I remember seeing a lot of reaction that said something along the lines of, this is kind of cisgender appropriation of a trans story, and like, this is what cis people think trans people are as opposed to what they actually are. And also a lot of comments about trans actors who could have played the role having been overlooked because they had Eddie Redmayne, to put it simply, because they thought that Eddie Redmayne was better for the role than someone who was actually trans.
Well, again, we have to think of this like a stepping stone. It is that a male actor has got the role, and there could be countless other trans female actors who could have played the character so much better. But then again, would those people actually bring in the same amount of publicity and the same amount of attention that film did? One of the main reasons that the film has got so much attention, which I can't condone, is that the fact it is controversial and it has caused a public outcry. And yet, without that public outcry, the transgender issue of the film may not even be known.
Mm. Very true. So it's, like you said, it's kind of a double-edged sword to kind of what is and isn't helpful in terms of exposure. It also kind of becomes unhelpful in terms of promoting certain ideas. So now focusing more again on you and what you do, well, would you like to tell the listeners what it is you do?
Well, on one half, I am a youth leader at an organisation called the Proud Trust. It is an organisation which runs youth groups across the Northwest, which is mainly based in Manchester. And then for over a year now, I have represented them on the Manchester Youth Council, going to various political events, demonstrations, and having an active role inside of the political community as a trans woman.
So you're involved in a lot of this sort of campaigning and kind of pushing these issues in front of the people that need to consider them. So for the people that, obviously with the report that's been published from the Trans Inquiry and the petition that's gone round, do you have any advice for people that all of this resonates with, but they just kind of can't face it yet?
Just one thing, and I remember getting told this very early when I tried to come out, and that is to be unapologetically you. There's some people who aren't going to like who you are, or people who are going to have a problem with that, but that is their problem, not yours. And when you figure out who you are, you will gain so much confidence, and you will absolutely rock being that person. And so many people will love you for it, so many more than people who have problems with it. And that time will eventually come.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We have played your request while we were trying to get you back. It was a very good song. Thank you for recommending it.
Yeah, thank you.
But yes, Caitlin Fenton, thank you very much for coming on the show. And if you want to follow Kate on Twitter, she is @_Kate, KAITF.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
And now, the slipping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of Vaseline at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Banana skins, euphemistic, becoming more literal later. Wet floors, 7, with yellow signs, 2. Black ice, 9, 8 with decent tyres. WD-40, 1, increasing to 9 later with generous application. Snails, 3, in restaurants with Richard Gere, 7.
Slippery little suckers.
Slopes, 1, increasing to 9 later. Nipples, 1, in shot glasses, 8. Knots, 1, with heavy metal, 4. Disc, 7, pain and misery later. Good. Mind, 6, occasionally forgotten, groaning later. Grease, 9, chance of lightning later. Soap, 4, on a rope, 7. Butter, 5, with occasional biscuit base. And that ends the slipping forecast.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like Game of Thrones, but without the nudity, mostly.
Indeed it is. One slight caveat for the slipping forecast. We did forget to Google what a slippery nipple is, whether it's a cocktail or a shot or whatever. So we shall just move on. Right. Shall we do Game of Geeks?
Game of Geeks. Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Hit the wrong button.
Yep.
All right, then. Catherine.
Right, okay. Right, straight into Game of Geeks. Okay. Right, so, yeah, usual format. I read out clues to films on the IMDb Top 250 film list, or the film list as it stood, I think, when we started the series. At least I hope that's the list I'm still using. And I have 3 clues for each film, and Chris and Kez guess. Whoever, if whoever guesses awards gets points if they're right. So if you guess on the first clue, 3 points. Second clue, 2 points. If you need three clues, then it's only 1 point. So far, well, Kez is owning it, really.
Yeah, you are.
Four shows to one.
A little bit, yeah.
And yeah, so I need to know when you want to guess. So we're going to need some buzzers.
Yes, we do. We are.
So Chris goes. Ooh, gulpy. Ooh, and yeah. Kez goes. I'm sensing a water theme.
Yeah. So this week's buzzers, because you're doing this Just Water challenge, are all water aid. Well, water themed, not water aid necessarily.
And they also
but...
make me want to go to the bathroom.
Indeed, which puts me at a competitive advantage.
And then they make me want to drink, which just exacerbates the other one. Which it's
yeah,
a problem.
It's a vicious cycle.
So we're going to have to play a song after Game of Geeks.
Yes, probably a long one while we all... yes. Okay, so let's get going, shall we?
Okay, so, yeah, film number one, fingers on buzzers. Okay, so clue number one for film number one, the F word... and its numerous conjugations are said 569 times, making this the film with the most uses of that word in a mainstream non-documentary film.
Oh, I know this one. I.
Oh, that
is
was
it.
A...
Trainspotting.
Oh no. No, good guess, but
I feel like I know this one because we covered it like the week it came out in film studies for having the most swearing of any film.
No more
but
guesses?
I can't. No.
Next clue.
Okay, next clue for 2 points.
Swearing.
Leonardo DiCaprio failed to win the Oscar for Best Actor yet again in 2014 for his performance in this film, and I heard Chris's buzzer while I was still reading the clue. So, Chris.
I did buzz in. Sweary Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm going to go with The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
So,
2 points.
So now I can't actually hear Chris's buzzer, so that makes life a little more difficult for me. I was to buzz in with the same suggestion, so congratulations on getting there first this time, Chris.
Yeah, well, you did that to me with It's a Wonderful Life on the last episode, so we're not going to talk about it.
Okay.
We're all friends, really. Ish.
Okay, so... film number two, are we ready?
More or less.
Okay, so clue number one for film number two. Eight actors from this 1962 film appeared as bit parts in Star Trek The Original Series.
My God.
That's like, mainly just for the trivia. I don't
think anyone could get that just because you wanted to say that, isn't it?
Yeah. Shall I move on to clue number two?
I think it may be best.
If anyone's got it from that, then the kudos. I didn't even know that. Okay, so a sequel to the book on which this film is based was recently released, and it's called Go Set a Watchman.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yes, the Harper Lee book, To Kill a Mockingbird, just got a sequel. So I thought a sequel recently released... it was either going to be that or some kind of Harry Potter thing, and I don't understand Harry Potter, so I went for that.
Yeah,
and it was like 1960s, so that's not going to be Harry Potter, is it? So.
Well, logicked.
I'm doing surprisingly well with the logicking. It might be because I've had to think, like, with all of this producing situation.
The brain is the brain is slippery.
Yes, apparently.
Next. Okay, right. Clue number one for film number three. Jodie Foster was 12 years old when she played a 12-year-old in this movie.
Appropriate. Ooh.
Oh, that's a Kez.
Is it E.T.?
No.
Oh. I thought she was in that.
Were you thinking of that other person that was in E.T.?
No, I was thinking of E.T. I thought she was the alien.
Oh, okay. I don't know how old the alien was. I can't remember if that was mentioned or not. Anyway...
Should I go on
for clue number two?
Yep.
The main character in this film is named Travis Bickle.
Nope.
I'm not hearing any water noises. I'm going to move on.
That's usually good on this show.
I know, right? I'm going to move on to clue number three for 1 point. This film spawned the famous line, "You talking to me?"
Oh, God, where's that from? Ah, where's that from? I'm annoyed with myself that I don't know that. But I don't know that.
at all.
No, okay, well, the film was Taxi Driver.
No, I didn't know that.
No. I hadn't seen that one.
I'm
going to
say
judge
oh, but no.
How, you know, easy or difficult the clues were. So,
fair
okay.
enough. Fair enough. No points there.
Next film, clue number one. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. This 2006 film starred David Bowie as Nikola Tesla.
Oh, God.
Toilet. I mean, Kez.
Wow.
I went to see this film and suddenly the name has escaped me. It
Which
was,
puts me at a competitive advantage.
Was it The Prestige?
Yes, it
oh.
was. Oh, so things are close.
Oh, no.
Kez on 3 and Chris on 4 points. Because Kez just got that question on clue number 1, so the whole 3
oh,
points.
Oh, yeah.
So the fifth and final film will hopefully be some kind of record
tie-breaking
situation. And yes. hopefully it won't be an actual tie-breaking situation because it's the last clue I have. So you'll just have to fight. 6,000 miles apart.
I need some more dramatic music, really, but we don't have any.
Dun-dun-dun. Clue number 1. The first human dialogue begins 39 minutes into this movie. Kez?
Is it 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No.
No, the first human dialogue begins like 2 hours after that movie finishes, doesn't it?
That's
it. I don't know. Okay, so clue number 2. The title character's name stands for Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class. Chris?
Wally.
Oh!
Yeah, sorry, because just beat
yes!
Yes. That is another
I'm
2 points.
You haven't even told me I'm right. I'm just assuming because the letters match up.
Yes.
You got like wall and like.
Yeah, and the whole non-human element.
Yeah, there was that as well.
Okay, so that is a rare win for Chris. With 6 points and against 3.
A rare. I feel like I should take offence at that point.
But, so we are now on 4 to Kez and 2 to Chris.
Indeed. Or, as the excellent Hattie Heyridge would put it...
This week's winner is... Chris.
Which is not a button that gets used often enough, I must say.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's a bit like listening to a radio show run by 3 geeks who don't have anything better to do. Oh.
Indeed. So much so that one of them is many thousands of miles away from us right now. And still
doing
so.
A radio show remotely is hard. But hi, I do really like that song. Thanks again to Caitlin for joining us earlier for a great interview there. There have been lots of comments and thoughts in the chat room on the film The Danish Girl, so please do continue to come in and chat about that. Huge thanks to Pristine for your comments and your thoughts. It's a great conversation to keep having, so thank you. And congratulations to you, Chris, for winning on this week's Game of Geeks. It's
crazy,
it's
right?
groundbreaking.
I know.
Yeah.
I think what have I won so far? Like the first episode and this one.
You're currently bookending.
Yes, the first and the 7th episodes, and we missed one. So what lead does that put you still in, Kez? My mental math while
have,
I'm doing...
I have the numbers here.
Catherine has
I'm
it written
just,
down.
I'm just
excellent.
Struggling with the math. Like...
I can't do mental maths while I'm presenting a radio show I have discovered.
Quizmaster.
Yes, I'm here and I now have the numbers.
Excellent.
Kez is on 4 shows and Chris is on 2.
So if I win the next 2, it will be all exciting and all or nothing-y in the final episode.
Although that is
no
reason.
Yes, but I'm not going to just let you win. So
let you win.
No, I intend to win. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, you always intend to win.
You've got a point. but yeah, we shall see how that goes. I mean, you are currently on double my score, but there's no reason that can't change.
Yeah, very true.
So, speaking of, I don't know,
things that are true.
Things that are true. Let's have a look at this would you rather thing.
Yes, the the truth is just...
You know those party games that everyone thinks are still fun when you're sober, but really aren't? It's time for Would You Rather?
Indeed. And at the
moment... What would people rather?
What would people rather? That would be a good thing to remind everyone of. Would you rather drink only water for a week? Or...
I'm week two here.
Yes. Would you rather suffer like Catherine, but only for a week? Or drink so much coffee that you can't sleep for a week? So we were talking about this a bit earlier in the show. And so there's obviously the benefit of drinking that much coffee that you could get so much more done. I mean, think of all the free time you have. I think, what is it, humans spend a third of their lives asleep? Imagine having an extra third of the time you would normally, like, spend in a week just available to do whatever on a massive caffeine high. I'm sorry to be rubbing it in, Catherine.
Yeah, we are the opposite of cats. We sleep for a third and they sleep for two.
That's very true.
Yeah, so either big caffeine high or big caffeine low.
Well, that's also true.
So what would people rather?
Well, it seems like people equally would rather either. Or rather either or...
Rather neither. Rather
well,
neither.
That's an interesting point that you raised there, Catherine, about the coffee. Would you then get an equal low period? So if you didn't sleep for a week, would you then have to sleep for a week after that just to catch up?
You might need to, whether or not you could.
I mean, I don't personally see a problem with that, but I can see how it could be inconvenient for people to potentially sleep
with jobs.
Jobs or real things to do. So long as it wasn't a Geekly week, I could sleep through the entire thing. In fact, I usually sleep through Geekly, but that's not something I should tell Kez. But yeah, it seems like, you know, it's pretty much 50-50.
Wow.
In fact, it's exactly 50-50 that half of you listening would rather drink only water for a week, and half of you would rather stay awake for the entire thing, because that's what it's really about. The coffee is just the means to the end of being awake.
I wonder if before the end of the show we can get people's thoughts on what they would actually do with the week that they would stay awake for. Then
that's very true.
If you're going to stay awake for a week and fill it with really useful stuff, then it's worth it. If you're going to stay awake for a week and fill it with utter useless boredom, then what's the point? You may as well just drink water.
That's very true. So
I suppose it depends how much you dislike water. Some people, you know, I think when I was just first talking about doing the challenge, somebody said to me, oh, I couldn't do it. Water's far too bland for me.
Yeah. And I feel like we were talking about this earlier. It's like water...
Add some pepper to it.
Is that allowed under the rules of the challenge? Is
you
flavouring your water permitted with condiments?
You can add sort of fresh things. So things like fruit or fresh herbs. So I don't think you could probably add anything sort of dried.
So probably no pepper, but...
Well, you could if you just added fresh pepper.
Well, that's true. You could, No, like dried pepper you'd get out of like a grinder or whatever, but just fresh pepper you could get, I suppose, would make your water more...
I don't think I've ever
more...
found pepper on grinder.
Ba-dum. I'm surprised we don't have a button to make that noise. Yep, that's for next show. It seems like the audience are split down the middle on this one. So do let us know what you would do with your week of being awake, because if nothing else, we're interested to know. Like, I mean, personally, there isn't an option for this on this week's Would You Rather, but if there was an option to sleep for a week and then sleep for another week, then that's probably what I'd have gone for. So I'm interested to know how people would be able to fill that time of being awake for 24 hours.
I'm anticipating much Netflix.
That's true. You could get a lot of binge watching done in that time. 168 hours worth of TV.
So this is where I'm saying, is it going to be useful or is it just going to be...
Now that depends on your definition of useful. But do let us know in the chat room and on Twitter what you would do.
So, yeah, all the talk of the water again. Leads me on to WaterAid. They've very generously given us a T-shirt to go in our prize draw.
Ooh. All right.
So, yeah, we have that addition. And we also have from earlier, I mentioned a big bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate because they won the World Cup of Chocolate. We want everyone to experience the goodness. So, yeah, what is the prize draw?
Well, the prize draw is looking pretty full at this point, which is good because we're 7/10 of the way to completing it. But the prizes we've got at the moment are, of course, the script for the Geekly Jingles, signed by Hattie Hayridge, featuring such joys as...
It's like the hoverboard from Back to the Future, only we exist.
Most of the time we do. We have got, from episode one, we spoke to Irene in The Disappointments, and we have their album About the Walls.
We also have some special Geekly Marmite.
We do. I haven't written that on my list, but that's very true. We have some special Geekly Marmite, and I am personally a big fan of Marmite, so I'm very excited about that. We have a USB power bank chargey thingy. We have a tile that you can like attach to your keys, and then if you lose your keys, you just like go on your phone and it tells you where they are. We have an original Game Boy, including Tetris and Pokemon Yellow and various other games. Speaking of games, we have a wristband from Rising Games, who were on episode 3, maybe? Or 5, maybe? An episode somewhere. We have a Raspberry Pi Zero. We have, from episode 4, a McDonald's burger, which will be sealed in Tupperware, and you do not have to take it with
that
you. We
optional.
Just want to prove a point.
Very optional. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want it.
No, nor would I. we have the Taylor Swift 2016 calendar, which we found in a pound shop. We have a set of what I believe are called manly mustaches.
I mean, don't know where that comes from.
No, I'm reasonably sure like they're just sticky mustaches. But we have those. We have the Pokemon Annual. We have the WaterAid T-shirt, of course. The big bar of Dairy Milk. Seriously, it's huge.
It's not that huge. It fits in the drawer.
I mean, it fits in the drawer, but like, it's the size of a limb. And of course, we have the drawer itself and the manual, which we have all signed and annotated with our own little comments about how you could possibly.
How do
build
we
it.
Enter the prize draw?
You can enter the prize draw by going to gkly.co/prizes. Leave us your name or your IRC name or your Twitter name or a nickname you like or whatever you want us to call you and your email address so we can let you know if you win and sort out how to get the draw to you. And we will be giving away the draw during our live final episode of this series. Now that was
great.
A segue. And that live final episode of the series, because we haven't plugged it to you enough, is on the 26th of February. It's episode 10 of this series, because last series had 10 episodes. It is in central London, near Baker Street Station. You can get tickets for that at gkly.co/tickets for £1 if you want the P package, or 15 if you want the VIP package, which comes with all sorts of bonus extra goodies. And that is all the advertising done for the show.
Yes, so enter the prize draw at gkly.co/prizes.
Prizes.
And get tickets at gkly.co/tickets.
Indeed.
It's kind of like it makes sense.
It almost does, which is surprising because I built that website. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the show.
What an interesting show it's been.
Indeed it has. Thank you very much, KF, for joining us and for that interview. And thank you to Catherine for providing us with this week's prize and Would You Rather, and also letting me win Game of Geeks with questions I can do. Did
and
help.
Thank you to Kez for making
yes,
time out.
The biggest thank
even
you
though
of all.
On the other side of the world.
Yes.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, just
I'm
a shame
forward
that
to
the
being back with you all for next week.
Yes, when all the technology may work.
Who knows? So what are the final results for Would You Rather?
The final results came out exactly half and half.
We've had no more votes since we asked about what people would actually do with their time. Interesting. Well, do continue to let us know what you feel that you may do with your week, you coffee drinkers, because it's going to be fascinating to see what you accomplish with the whole 160 hours to do with whatever you so choose.
It would be Netflix for me, let's be honest.
That's fair enough.
Right. We will see you again in 2 weeks, I suppose. But for now, from me, Chris.
From me, Kez.
And from me, Catherine.
It is goodbye.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.
Right, shall I put the kettle on?
Ah, I hate you.